Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have this morning to gather and learn more about you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come before you. Teach us, Father, this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, the first message of this series, it was called On Your Own Progress. And what we said is that nobody can own your own spirituality. You can't grow. Nobody can do it for you. You can't pay anybody to do it for you. You have to do it yourself. You have to own your own progress. God gave us that responsibility to grow, to mature into the image of Him. Last week we had a message titled, On Your Own Failure. Now as believers sometimes, they always think that believers are not supposed to fail. We are all going to fail. We all have our own sin nature. We are going to sin. But own it. Put it before the Lord Jesus. Put it at the cross. At the foot of the cross. As soon as you know that you have failed, confess it. Acknowledge it. Give it to Him. Don't let your stumbling blocks affect your spiritual life. Let those stumbling blocks become stepping stones for you that will help you change for the better. But today's message is titled On Your Own Destiny. For some of you, this may sound a little strange. And you may say, how can I own my destiny? What does destiny mean anyway? Well, today I'm inviting you to know your destiny. And if I'm inviting you to know your destiny, I think you should know what are you owning, don't you? What is destiny anyway? Well, there's a sample of the dictionary's best attempts. And here they are. Now, again, this is the dictionary's best attempts. And they claim that destiny is something that has happened or must happen to a particular person. Destiny, they say, is a power that destines the person's future. And they also say destiny is the predetermined, inevitable, irresistible course of events, also called fate. Now, a lot of people talk about destiny as part of the culture. But if you understand destiny as a predetermined, inevitable, irresistible course of events, then that will mean that my destiny and your destiny is definitely out of our control. We can't do anything about it. After all, it's predetermined, inevitable, irresistible, right? So the question is destiny real? I will have to ask. And I have to answer that question yes and no. And I'm going to explain why. Some parts of destiny is real. Some parts is not real. Now, there are some denominations that would say that your salvation is out of your control. They say that before you were born, or any human being was born, God chose some to hell and some to heaven. They say that you have nothing to do with it. But I find in scriptures that God offers a gift of eternal life. He holds us responsible to respond to that gift. Or, for example, there are others that will say that Christian growth is out of your control, that it is inevitable, and that it would grow in good works. You got to do all these good works to grow spiritually. And I don't find that as well. So let's start with a destiny that is easy to acknowledge, it's easy to understand. I mean, that is staring us right at our face. And here we go. You and I have a destiny with death. I know that those of you who are theological minded, you may say, hey, wait a minute. What about if Jesus returns? Yes, that's correct. Yes, that will be the exception. It will be the rapture when the Lord Jesus takes His bride. Just to give you a reference in that, for those who are listening to us in the internet. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. After that, we who are all still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with Him forever." So that's the passage of the rapture. But for us, if we are not part of the rapture, you and I are going to have a destiny with death. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, let's read the passage. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. And I love this book. This book is filled with biblical nuggets. They're filled with all these nuggets for our spiritual life. They're not filled with pious attitude or spiritual cliches. This is the real thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 2, it says, "It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart." Now, as you know, I have spoken to many funerals for over the years. Some of those who have died in the twilight. And I'm here to tell you what a glorious celebration that is. Always to hear the life of these Christians that have lived their total life for God. And I always make sure that I give an opportunity to the family and friends to share something about that particular person. And how it affected their lives. And when you hear that, oh, what a wonderful celebration that is. See, they lived their life to the fullest. And now they are in the presence of their Creator. What I have also done funerals of young teens, young people. They were at the prime of their life. And they vanish like a vapor. And of course those even much smaller, the children, very, very young children. Oh, I'm here to tell you, that's one of those tough funerals. Now, I don't know if you've been to some of the funerals that you have attended. I've used this verse in Ecclesiastes. I know I always hear about the Psalms 123. Of course, that's not a funeral passage. But it says, "It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart." Now, what does it mean? What is this passage saying? This is what it's saying. It is okay to feast. It is okay to get together as a body of believers. To feast together. And when I use the word feast, I always think about Thanksgiving. There's so much feast that some of us overeat, don't we? Yes, but in what it's saying, it's okay to get together and feast. Nothing wrong with that. God tells us to do that. That is okay. But there is something that is better. It's better to go to a place where they are pondering death. It's better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting. Why? Because death is the destiny of everyone. Because death is the destiny of every man. And the living should take this to heart. Now, this is one of the ways I explain it in the funerals. Now, I don't want to offend anyone what I'm going to say now. But a funeral is not for the dead person. A funeral is for those ones who are alive. A person who's dead could care less. a funeral is for us that are left here on earth. We are left here to contemplate a reality that death is part of our life, and that you and I are responsible to think about our lives, because death is the destiny of every one of us. So when we mourn for those who have died, God tells us to take it to heart. He says, don't waste this experience. Realize that death awaits all of us. But this shouldn't scare us. This should encourage us, because what Christ has done. So again, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are assured that you will be with Him forever. Those of you who are sitting right here, I know your background, so I know that you are believers in Christ. You are a Christian, and that you have a relationship with Jesus, and you can take that to heart. So what this passage is saying, that even in time of mourning, we have to realize that death is not the end. In fact, because you have believed in the Lord Jesus, He has given you this gift of salvation. And now, you will be with Him forever. Isn't that wonderful? But I got to tell you, many, many people are confused of what heaven is. I want to tell you a true confession. I haven't been in heaven. I haven't been to heaven. But we know a few things from scriptures. What heaven is like. And what heaven is not like. Some of us, when we start thinking about heaven, it's like one perpetual church service. You see what heaven is going to be like? See, like an environment, like a haze, clouds. This is what we think sometimes. There's always this hazy environment. Have you noticed? There's never flowers. You're always floating, like floating to the clouds, making your way through the haze over the floating clouds. Or is it just like singing and praising all of the time? Like singing all hymns. And some of you may say, oh, it's going to be boring. Let me ask you a question. Have you thought about heaven? The thought of forever is. The thought of being with God forever. See, that feeling to me just creates, I mean, that experience, or just to think about that, creates all kinds of feelings. Have you thought about heaven? See, we are in space right now. And this is going to disappear. This earth is going to be done away with. And we're going to be in eternity. We're going to be with God. Have you pondered about those things? Now, if you read history, you know that the ancient culture believed in afterlife. And they even helped their dear ones, because they put stuff in the tombs to help them come back to life, didn't they? If you read history all the way from the Egyptians to the Greeks, all the way to the Mayans, they'll do the same thing. Even in our culture, we are fascinated with afterlife. There are movies done about it. Books written about it. Books like 33 Minutes in Heaven, 60 Minutes in Heaven, 90 Minutes in Heaven. This one guy records 90 Minutes in Hell. That's a little different, isn't it? Well, at least it fills their curiosity of afterlife. So as I see books like this, and you're thinking of dying,
I should say that you better take a watch if you're going to title your book when you come back. Right? Now, but let's clarify something here. No one will spend eternity in heaven. You may say, what are you talking about? Don't worry, I will give you scripture verses with it. No one will spend eternity in heaven. God tells us that the present heaven and the present earth will be done away with. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1. God will actually create a brand new earth. And this brand new earth and those who have believed in Jesus will spend all eternity. Now let me tell you what that does. It makes it eternity very real. It makes eternity very real. Imagine an existence that is more real than this. More tangible than this. An existence that can get our hearts, head and minds, touch all of that. This is huge. And that's where we will be forever and ever and ever. You see, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, your destiny is sealed. And that's an incredible truth. Isn't that incredible? You will be with Him forever. But I want you to move towards something that I want to stretch your thinking this morning. What about if you can influence that experience? What about as a Christian? What about as a Christian living for God now will influence that experience that awaits you in eternity? What if you can make your experience in eternity better? Better than it would have been if you had not focused in living holy, thoroughly for Jesus in this life. You see, God says, having believed in Jesus for your salvation, now you can influence your quality of eternity. In Hebrews chapter 11, it is a great chapter. I love that chapter. It's a chapter of faith, full of faithful stories and encounters with men and women who live for God. And many of them experienced the result of their faithfulness. Many of them were rewarded, even in this life. Some of them saw miracles. They saw things happening. But 2/3 of this chapter of Hebrews, you find the tone shifting in one single verse. You will find the writer of Hebrews saying, yeah, the people of faith got to experience all of the things, all of these things. But the people of faith also experience hard things. Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. To see what this verse is telling us. And it says, we may receive their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. In other words, forgiving their life on earth, not accepting deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection. The writer of Hebrews is starting to hint that these people lived in faith. They were tortured by their faith. Means that there is something better for them when they move to eternity. You see, this word here, tortured, in the Greek word, is the word tampanizo. This word tampanizo was actually a word used for torture. It meant to beat a drum. You see, it's an instrument that was used or a way that they used to punish people,
especially those martyrs that were believers in Jesus Christ, when they wouldn't deny Jesus, they will stand for Jesus. So they will take their bodies and will stretch them in a flat surface. And they will stretch their feet and their hands and tie them. And they would do what they would do, these people will stop beating on their chest, beating on their chest, beating on their chest until their whole chest cavity caves in. The torso caves in. And all their muscles gave in, all their internal organs in that area were damaged. And the people will die. Tampanizo. So what God is saying, because of your faithfulness, you will experience something better than if you had not suffered. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 19, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. In verse 20 he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Store up treasures in heaven? That's what it says. Where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break and steal. You see, there are hints all over Scripture for things like this. Many of us have this idea that when we die, that we are all in heaven. All of us that have believed in Jesus, that we're all kind of the same. We look all the same. That we are all the same. I don't know where they get this from. Some people think that we all go to heaven, and then in heaven we're going to be judged whether we're going to go to stay in heaven or go to hell. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible says. The question is it possible the way you live as a Christian will change the experience of your forever experience? So throughout the Scriptures and the New Testament, the way a believer lives his or her life here on earth can result in benefits to them in all eternity. Hear me now. Those of you who have believed in Jesus, as Christians walking with Jesus, the way you live your life, on this earth, will affect the quality of your eternal existence. What I'm suggesting here is that you can own your own destiny to shape your destiny. You own your destiny by shaping up your destiny to a better faithfulness now. So to be clear, heaven or eternity with God is not a reward. Let me say that again. Heaven or eternity with God is not a reward. It's not a reward given. Because we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn or deserve it. And it's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about being faithful to live for Jesus now so that you can get into heaven. See, that's what some people think. No, the moment you believe in Christ, we are going to heaven. It is a gift of grace. It's not a gift of rewards. What we are describing here now is more like a reward. A reward is given when you do something. That's a reward. Heaven is a gift from God. It's a gift of grace. That's why Jesus had to come to earth. For all who have believed in Jesus have been called sons of God. So when we live our lives for Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, God is taking notes. And He says, you will be rewarded. God gives us rewards in obedience, in cooperation with Him during the life we live now. So I want to show you four benefits that you will get later living for God now. These are benefits that you will get if you are faithfully living for Jesus, focused in Him. God says you can anticipate that the quality of your eternity will be different. And you will get these things and benefits that each Christian may or may not experience for all eternity. So you can own your destiny, to change your destiny. And here are the areas of benefit that you could experience by living faithfully for Jesus in this life. Here they are: judgment, reigning, heirship, crowns. Judgment, reigning, heirship, crowns. These are all areas of benefits for the believer in Jesus. So a discussion of eternity that does not include these elements is incomplete. And I find in some of us, somehow, somewhere, I don't know why, but it doesn't register with us. Sometimes as believers, we hear this type of messages, these types of teachings from our pastors, and we just dismiss it. Maybe some of you are hearing us over the internet and even attend churches that don't even teach these type of messages, because some of the pastors cannot grasp what the Bible says about eternity. They're afraid to teach it because they don't understand it. They don't teach about rewards. They say, "Oh, just to get in heaven is good enough for me." No, life is more, is better than that. So what I want to do now is walk to each one of these four benefits mentioned as an overview fashion, because we don't have time to go deeply in each one of them. So this will help us actually understand how we can own our own destiny and to shape our destiny. Now, like I said, there are four different judgments mentioned in the Bible. But let me tell you, there's no place where we can find in the Bible where a believer dies and stands before God to determine whether or not to get into heaven or to go to hell. Let me tell you again, it's not what the Bible says. There is a judgment. Yes. And the judgment that I'm referring here is the Bema Seat judgment. Now there's another judgment, the great white throne judgment. But this is for all these people, all the people whose names were not found in the book of life, meaning unbelievers. And the books were open. And God is going to ask, "Is his name there?" The angel will say, "No." Next. "No." Next. "No." Do you know how terrible this is going to be? But those who believe in Jesus, their names were written in the book of life, in the book of the Lamb. See, these people who didn't believe, they are going to be judged as guilty for rejecting the great gift of salvation, rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Their destiny is the lake of fire. You can find that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. You can read that in your own time, so we can say sometime this morning. Now the judgment for believers is different, and it's called the Bema Seat of Christ. Again, believers, Christ has been judged for your sins Therefore, to be judged again is impossible. There is no double jeopardy in God's plan of salvation. You see, for God to judge the believer will be double jeopardy. No. Christ has been judged once and for all. He was judged for us, for our sins. See, that's why some believers say, or some people say, hey, we are told that every believer will stand before Jesus to have his life evaluated. Yes, it is true. This is what we're talking about. Romans 14:12. The judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. In other words, the believer in Jesus will stand before Jesus, and you will give a reckoning or an account of your life. Basically, how did you do? How did you do while you were here on earth? You see, I always think of that question. I always think of the question that Jesus is going to ask me when I stand before Him. What did you do with what I gave you? And He's asking you the same question right now. What did you do with what I gave you? So what is the purpose of the Bema Seat? The Bema Seat judgment is for believers. As a believer, your destiny is sealed in this life. In the moment you believe in Jesus, you have life that never ends. You will be with Him. You will be with Him. Forever. Jesus is evaluating our lives. Actually, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it tells us the same thing. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body. That's what the judgment seat is. That each one may receive the things done in the body. On this earth, right now, what we're doing for Jesus right now. Whether good or bad. What are you doing now for Jesus? Now, just a quick reality thing. Can Christians do bad things? Yes or no? Oh, some of you are saying, oh yeah. Yes, they can. So what Jesus would do, He will evaluate our lives. So the benefit of this is the way we live now. The way we live now will affect the way we live in eternity. Because if we stand before Jesus Christ, having lived well for Jesus, He will say, well done. And for the Christian who have not lived well, Jesus will not say, well done. They're going to be temporarily ashamed before Christ. And don't get me wrong, Christ loves you. This is not, you're going to go to hell. No. He's going to tell you, well done. For what you have done. This is not complicated. Jesus will say, well done to those believers who do well. Okay? That's the Bema Seat judgment. The second one is reigning. So what I'm saying, own your destiny by shaping up your reigning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. So many people will look at this verse and say, if you live a holy life, then you will go to heaven. It's not what this verse is saying. Paul here is writing to believers. And he's saying, if you endure in this life, if you live your life faithfully and to the to in pursuit of Christ. You just tell Christ, Lord, my life is yours. I want to invest in things that really matters for you. If you do that, you will also reign with Jesus. The Bible is full with instructions how to live a good life for Jesus. You see, Jesus is offering a co-reigning with Him. And this is amazing. You have to imagine a new earth with a structure and cities. It is an existence with the rulership. And Jesus is saying, He is the primary ruler. No doubt about it. See, reigning is going to start with Christ in that millennium. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation. Now we've talked about the rapture in the beginning. Yes, the church will be taken up. During that time, 7 years of tribulation will happen here on earth. At the end of the seventh year, we will come with Christ in a millennium, as He sets His foot on the Mount of Olives. The enemies of Israel are they thinking that they're winning. Christ is going to come and destroy them all. And then the millennium will be set up. And those who come with Christ, as us, believers, the bride of Christ, will come with Him, will rule and reign with Him. This is what He's talking about. Are you going to have the opportunity to rule cities? To be in government positions with Christ? To be ambassadors for Christ? This is what we're talking about. This is real, people. This is real. Because there's still going to be cities and there's going to be nations everywhere. The headquarters is going to be in Jerusalem. Are you going to be part of that rulership? This is what it's all about. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. Next is heirship. What about the word heirship? Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But there's a condition here. There's a condition here. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. This is a beautiful verse. And the fact that some of you are familiar with this verse, with this language, kind of tells us that it is done. For the moment you believe in Jesus for your salvation, you are an heir with God. And that's incredible on itself. That we will be heirs with God. Imagine that. You are a child of God, and that's a special sense. A child of God. But notice what this verse tells us. You may be or you may not be joint heirs with Jesus. You know why? To be a joint heir with Jesus is conditional. And what is the condition in this verse? If we suffer with Him. You see, we are all heirs with God the moment we believe. But if you want to experience the co-heirship with Jesus, it implies that we have lived our life on this earth in a way that we have shared in the sufferings of Christ. Then we will be joint heirs with Jesus. This is the whole idea that I'm inviting you to wrap your head around. We don't have time today, but whenever you see the word inheritance in the New Testament, most of the time in the discussion of heirship, and it opens all kinds of possibilities. When we take this as the Bible communicates it, It tells you that you can own your own destiny, to change your destiny. Yes, he just asks us, if you suffer with him, as believers, we don't want to suffer. We are afraid to tell God to break us. If you're suffering right now, this is a promise for you. To be co-heirs with Jesus Christ. I don't care what you're going through right now. Life is going to be better. Because you're going to be co-heirs with Jesus. Oh, I can't even imagine that. But it's better than not to be suffering. What about crowns? Throughout the New Testament, the whole idea of crowns are mentioned at least 4 times. In fact, I'm sure you have heard some of the old hymns. I know I have. That it says, what are you going to do with your crowns? What are you going to do with your crowns? Are we going to be wearing crowns in heaven? Is every believer going to be running around with the crowns? Oh, I got a crown. No, this is much larger than that. Much larger than that. See, throughout the entire New Testament, these crowns are mentioned very specifically. The crown of life. James chapter 1, verse 12. This crown is given to believers who withstand trials and temptations. So this is a huge opportunity for us. We're going to be tested both with trials and temptations. Here's the question. Are you going to be able to stop your temptation? Are you able to withstand your temptation? Are you able to withstand your trials? Are you going to be able to go through your trials in the name of Jesus? And when temptations come, you say, no. You let the Holy Spirit control your life, and not your all sin nature. We are all able to do that. Who is controlling your life? The all sin nature or the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit, then this is your reward. The crown of life. Now, the other one is the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. These are for those who help lead others to Christ through outreach or something similar. Just to be able to share the gospel with others. See, that's what I like the Greater Grace believers. They understand that outreach is important, that sharing the gospel is important. That's our job. That's our responsibility. To share the light to the lost. To bring light to the darkness. It's amazing, a dark room. It could be as dark as can be. There's a light on the other side. As soon as you open that door, it's a peak of light that just goes through that door. You can see it. That's us. We are the light of the world. We are to share the gospel with every single one. Our co-workers. Our family and friends. Let me tell you. You don't want them to go and face God in the white throne judgment. It will be too late then. Because those people would just be there to be sentenced to the lake of fire. Our job is to share the word of God. To share the gospel. The great news what Christ has done. Then we have the crown of glory. This crown is given to
the ones who shepherd the church, the pastors, the pastor teachers, and also the ones who disciples. That is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4. Throughout the world of God has been preached, been taught. Pastors suffer persecutions. Churches burn down for the sake of Jesus. Just pastors who've been beaten, abused. The crown of glory awaits them. But just to be able to take that stand and say, this is what I'm going to do for Jesus. Has its benefits. And then we have the crown of righteousness. That's found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. This crown is given to the believers longing for Christ's appearance. And believers, we are all longing for Christ's appearance. But our believers are not. Because Christ is not number one in their lives. Those who have Christ as number one in their lives are longing for His appearance. And it's so obvious to see the people who are longing for Christ. I want to invite you to be longing for Christ's appearance. Now all these rewards, it's just a reminder that God values. Because what God values, He rewards. What that means, some Christians will be rewarded and some will not. You may say, really? Absolutely. Of course, because God is rewarding the faithful believer for the way he lived or she lived. In other words, the way you live now will change the quality of your destiny. But you may say, well, I don't want to be wearing all those crowns that you're talking about. Because wearing the crown just looks selfish. Let me tell you, is that what you're thinking? You missed the whole point. The whole point about all of this is to give glory to Jesus Christ. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will bring honor to Him. Jesus is just saying, I will share some stuff with you if you live faithfully. If you do that, if you live faithfully for me, I will share the benefits to you. So again, many of us may I ask the question, are we all alike? I thought we are all alike. I thought heaven is supposed to be all these great things. There are no more tears, no more sufferings, and no more all that. Yes. Heaven is great. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our experience here on earth. So if I'm not faithful, my experience is going to be less rewarded. That's what I'm saying. This is what I mean with that. If we are faithful and if we are changing the quality of our eternity, we can actually increase our capacity to experience eternity. It's all about our capacity. So for example, one way of interpreting all these things that we're talking about, all these rewards of the crowns, without going through the language, it will be the crowns which is life. Means greater experience of life
throughout eternity. The crowns, which is rejoicing, greater experience of rejoicing. The crown, which is glory, the greater experience of glory. The crown, which is righteousness, a greater experience of righteousness. So the whole motivation is to bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. It is your experience. Each one of us have a capacity. We're going to have a capacity to truly understand who Jesus Christ is. Well, for some of us, I know some people, they just think that death, it just, you know, it's going to happen to all of us, and it's all mysterious for some of us. For some of them, it'll be complicated and impractical, and they just may just brush off death and say, "I don't know. I'm just here on earth, pie in the sky, bye bye when I die." Let me tell you, I hope it's just like that, but it's not. The truth in the Bible tells us that eternity awaits us. Truth in the Bible tells us what we're doing in this earth now is going to make our life in eternity much better. There's a difference. Some of you may say, what difference does it make? There's a difference. So to have an attitude that it doesn't matter, it would be a terrible mistake. Because God had included the details of all this in His Word. He said, you see, He has done this to motivate us. To motivate us to continue to live this life for Jesus Christ. To motivate us not to be lazy. God hates lazy people. He wants us to get up of our batushka and do something for Him. He doesn't want any of these people to be lost. He wants all to be saved. So He wants to motivate us to do these things for Him, and there are rewards there for us for doing it. That's the whole point of this message. To motivate us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. To bring glory to Jesus. And He's just saying to you, hey, there are benefits to you too. We can change the quality of our existence for all eternity. Think about it. Think about it like this. Our life is like a big piece of paper. And we look at it and we say, wow, it's kind of wide and big and so long. I want to invite you to turn it sideways. And you will notice the path that life is paper thin. James says that it's like a vapor. And before you know it, life is gone by. Life is going to be done. Compare your life on earth from eternity. It is almost as if this life on earth gets diminished the more we think of eternity. Shows you that life goes forever and ever and ever. And of course, it matters. Of course it matters. The more we think deeply in these things. So I just want to invite you to live your life for Jesus Christ. Don't miss this opportunity to change the quality of your eternity by your spiritual investments that you make now. That's all of the reasons to own your destiny. Do it to glorify Jesus. Do it to glorify Jesus. Invest in this life now. Own your destiny. invest your life for Jesus, the results are going to be much better in heaven. Amen?